Let's take a quick look at Psalm 100. This will give us an opportunity to think about a little bit about what it means to be thankful. Psalm 100 is a guide for worshipers in bringing an offering of thanks to the Lord. Let me read it to you. A psalm of giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Well, let me encourage you along three points here. Let's think about thankfulness for the first point here. Let's think about, we notice again the psalm is guidance for this. We observe that we are guided here to make an outward and verbal expression in the worship service. The first verse there talks about making a noise. Literally in the text, it's just make a cry out to the Lord or a noise. Our English translations add the word joyful because of the context. It's not a cry of lament here. It's not a cry of complaint. It is a cry or a noise of joy or gladness. So there's a glad, joyful, outward verbal expression. There's joy in it. There's serving the Lord with gladness. We notice in verse 2, we're coming into his presence with singing. That would certainly convey joy or gladness. And so we notice right away a connection that there's this, in an offering of thanks, it is with gladness and joy. And I suppose that should make sense to us. If I give you thanks for something, maybe you did something for me and I give you thanks, or maybe you said something to me, or you promised me something and I give you thanks for it, then it must be that I'm glad with what you did. It must be that what you did for me or what you said to me has brought me joy and gladness into my heart or into my life. So we notice that connection there. Giving thanks is giving a verbal offering to the Lord where you are expressing gladness to him, where you are expressing gratitude or pleasure or satisfaction with something the Lord has done or something the Lord has said, something the Lord has promised. Let's think about it a little bit more. I hope this will help you to think about it today. If you are glad with something the Lord has done or said, then it must be that you are in agreement with the Lord. There must be this relationship of agreement. You are in agreement with what the Lord has done. Rather than your opposition to what he has done or said, there's this agreement with him. So if I thank you for something that you've done for me or you've said to me, then it must be that I agree with the goodness of what you've done. It must be that I agree with you that this was the right thing for you to do for me or the right thing for you to say to me. So there's agreement, okay? But let's be careful because the corrupt heart can take even this and twist it and move it in ways it ought not to be moved. We're not talking about Christmas morning where you remember when you were a kid and you got up and you got what you wanted and that's why you were glad. We need to approach thankfulness with a more mature perspective than that, because thankfulness to the Lord is not always going to be in a context where you got what you thought maybe you needed at first. We can think of that psalm from Psalm 119. We can think of lots of examples from the scripture, but you remember the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Is that a complaint? Or is that spoken with a heart of thankfulness? Well, I think it's with agreement and with thankfulness, because the psalmist a few verses later then says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Well, is that a surprising expression of thanks? It ought not be. Because this is a more mature understanding of thankfulness. That it doesn't mean that the Lord gave to me what might have been my first preference or what I might have initially thought would have been right or good for me. But here we see maturity. We see sanctification. We see the fruit of growth and holiness. So it's not always in the context of where you got what you think you wanted or deserved at first. So I want to encourage you to think about that. All right? And you can't skip poverty of spirit. If you're bringing agreement to the Lord, and agreement has to be a part of thankfulness, a joyful agreement, then I think that you can't skip poverty of spirit. If you can't skip confession of your sinfulness or confession of your sins. If you do skip it, poverty of spirit, and you try to retain a sinful, prideful expectation of what's best for you, if you bring to the Lord this resistance, you will not only not be thankful, but you can't be thankful, right? If you approach the Lord always with that immature perspective that I always know what's best for me instead of the Lord, you'll never be thankful to Him for what He's done or what He has said. All right? So if there's agreement in thankfulness and it's a glad and joyful, mature agreement, it must be that I have first worked on myself, and so that I view myself with suspicion, not the Lord. So that if it's between me and the Lord, if somebody's wrong, I need to assume that it's me. And if the Lord has done something if He has spoken something to me in His word, the assumption I must bring is He is right. Whatever it is He's done, it must be good. It must be right. If there's anybody who needs to be corrected, it must be me. So I think all of these things need to be a part of our offering of thanks. Let me offer you a second encouragement today, and I've already been kind of hinting at it, and that is that thankfulness has to be based on truth. Do you notice here the command in verse 3? No. We must know things if we're going to be thankful. So we can say here that ignorance is going to be an enemy of your thankfulness. If you've been struggling lately with thankfulness, could it be, and this is just sort of a little diagnostic tool here for you in the psalm, could it be that you are ignorant of things that you need to know, or could it be that you've been neglectful of truth? You know it, you just haven't been rehearsing it in your mind as you should have, resting in it as you should have. Ignorance is going to be a great enemy. Know this, and the psalmist says, know this, know that the Lord, He is God. Know that Yahweh is Elohim. Who is Elohim? He's Yahweh. So the psalmist here is teaching us, for the sake of thankfulness, we need to know who God is, and He is the God of covenant. He is the God who condescends with covenant to unworthy sinners, and He condescends to us with terms that make for peace between us and Him. This is God. This is the one we see here who has made us. So for the sake of growing in thankfulness today, think of His acts of redemption. This is the God of redemption. This is the God who redeems His people from the slavery of sin. He brings them out, and He brings them to the promised land. This is Yahweh. So think of election for the sake of thankfulness. He made us. He did not elect ourselves. He chose us before the foundation of the world to be the recipient of divine favor, to be conformed more and more into the image of His Son. How's that for thankfulness? That will fuel it. Think of His work in the arrangement of all of the means that were necessary for you to hear the preaching of His word. That will fuel your thankfulness. The internal call, the effectual call brought to you by the Holy Spirit, where He enabled you to embrace Christ by faith. How's that for fueling thankfulness? The work of the Spirit of God to renew your will, to enlighten your mind in the light of the knowledge of Christ, to bring your dead soul to life. Think of justification. We did not justify ourselves. He has justified us. We did not adopt ourselves. That doesn't make any sense. He adopted us. Yahweh is Elohim, and He has made us. So with what confidence can we live our lives? And with what kind of thankfulness ought we to have every day as we recall this truth? Who is it that has made us and brought us together? Well, a third thing I think will be good for your encouragement and thankfulness today is notice this whole thing is in a context of the public worship service. Obviously, it's a psalm, so it's a song designed to be sung in the corporate worship. And we have hints throughout here. Serving the Lord, I think, is an indication of the public worship service. Coming into His presence, this is our corporate worship. Entering in His gates with thanksgiving, in His courts with praise. These are all indications that we're coming into the corporate and the public worship service with this. So, let me leave you with this final thought. And that is for you to think about how you dressed yourself today. All right? You get up in the morning and you pick, you know, as a parent, you probably have learned to pick out clothes for the kids ahead of time and try to make that as efficient. You think about what you're wearing today, right? I think this psalm is an encouragement to you to dress yourself with thankfulness, to prepare yourself for the worship service. Are you dressed with that today? Have you dressed yourself with this ready, joyful, glad, humble, poverty of spirit agreement with the Lord? Are you bringing that with you today to the worship service? This is all a part of this package of bringing an offering of thanks to the Lord. I hope that you'll think about that today, how you've dressed yourself. Are you dressed with thankfulness? Not because you necessarily got what you thought you should get this past week, but you got what is good and you got what is right because you're remembering what is true, that God is good and God is the one who has made us and God is faithful to us, even to all generations.